can get it to you.
Hello, America. How you doing? You have found the Loftus Party. That's right, I'm tripping over my tongue already. It's fantastical. What a big week. What a big, big week in politics and pop culture. I'm joined here with my good buddy, Jason Anarino. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good, man.
We're testing out some new equipment. I think it's going very well.
I think it sounds pretty good.
I know. So, fantastic. I want to get the pop culture stuff out of the way.
Okay.
The Oscars. They came. They went. There was a lot of winners.
You called it on Leo.
I did. I knew Leo DiCaprio would win.
Yes.
I almost feel like I had the inside scoop on that one. Yeah, he's done so many great movies. They had to give him one. But the big movie, The Remnant.
The Revenant.
The Remnant.
The Remnant?
The Revenant.
It's The Revenant.
The Revenant. That was, here's my beef with the Oscars. And this is my new thing this week. It's like, what's my beef with this, that, or the other thing? See? And that was a good idea. There was a sound effect for a good idea. How do you give The Revenant best cinematography? How do you give that best director and best actor? Okay? So we love the acting. We loved the way it looked, and we loved the direction of it. However, that's not Best Picture. We're going to give that to something else. They gave it to Spotlight. Spotlight won Best Picture.
I was hoping it would, but, and I haven't seen it. I just, you know.
I'm just saying, how do you do that math?
I don't know.
This movie, Revenant, definitely the best director. Definitely, and it had the best actor. Oh, and by far, it looked the best, but as a film, not the best.
Yeah, I was just upset it didn't win Best Sound Mixing.
I know. And that's another thing, a problem I have with it. Best sound, okay, and best sound editing. What is, I know some real technical person's going to give us some hate
Michael, mail. The actual thing is that the sound editor is different than the actual sound.
One man has to create the sound, the other man has to say, here's where the sound starts and the sound ends. Actually, that's a very legit point. So I'm going to take that back. It's a very big difference.
I know that's why I was watching.
I thought Chris Rock did horrible.
No, I thought he did okay.
Really? What was the standout joke? What was your favorite joke that Chris did?
The thing about Jada Pinkett Smith was pretty funny, I thought.
I don't even remember that joke.
It was about how he wasn't invited, for her to... Never mind.
That was a great bit.
Yeah,
obviously.
I can't say it on the podcast. We're trying to keep family clean here.
He said it on the Oscars.
He said that Jada Pinkett Smith not coming to the Oscars and protesting is like him protesting. What's the singer's name?
I'm going to need some more information.
Some hot female singer's panties because he wasn't invited.
Oh,
see,
okay, but here's that's not a bad joke. That's a pretty funny joke. I don't even remember that joke. I remember the Girl Scouts coming out. That was just cringeworthy. Cringeworthy.
The whole thing is so Hollywood is so out of their mind, hypocritical, and I'm so sick of their Democrat BS. First of all, Chris Rock comes out and lectures me about racism, and then does a joke making fun of Asian children. Then you got all these actors.
But that was praising Asian. He was like, look how smart the Asian kids are.
Okay, well, let's have a white guy do a joke about black children and see how that goes over. Look how good they dance. Yeah, that'd go over about as good as a joke at a funeral.
I don't think that would do well.
No, it wouldn't. And here's the other thing. Then you got the actors wearing bracelets for gun control.
I didn't see those.
They all had anti-gun bracelets.
What did the bracelets say?
They're surrounded by people with, they were like black bracelets.
Really? Were they cool looking?
I don't think so. I think they were pretty neutral. But, then they're surrounded by teams of people with guns to protect them. Well, I don't have teams of people with guns. I need the Second Amendment.
You know what you should do? You should get a gun to protect yourself.
I might be a step ahead of you on that. And then there was one more thing hypocritical.
It's always incredibly hypocritical when somebody who's being defended by armed guards tells people, you don't need a gun.
Yeah,
Put that gun away.
Yeah, like you might not need a gun, but I got kids and stuff to protect.
Absolutely. The Oscars, it was a drag. I think it should just be what it is. It's just a celebration of movies, and we think this is wonderful, and we think that's wonderful. But stop with the politics.
Then DiCaprio with the, global warming is going to kill us. Now I'm going to go take a trip on my yacht and my private jet, which burns fossil fuels like never seen.
Everybody always does that. People give Harrison Ford grief because he's like, I think climate change is real and I think we should do something, and he has a private plane.
Well, then fly coach. Fly on a commercial flight.
Nah, I'm rich.
Okay, I mean, then you don't care about the environment.
I'm not a big globe. Well, listen, I gotta get to France, dude. I gotta get to France. I got a great place over there, and I can't wait for Eastern Airlines or whatever, American Airlines, to pick me up. I have my own plane. I like to fly. My bad.
Well, then.
But, like, well, that's really
it's
what it
all
is.
Hypocritical. It was the it most is. Hypocritical awards show I've ever seen in my life.
I think actors should just stay out of politics. I really do. Well, I mean, there shouldn't be a law. I mean, if you want to say, I'm for freedom of speech. If some actor wants to say, you know, blah, 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 go ahead. But, like, nobody should, like, listen to that.
Well, and but
it's just
if
a,
you're
it's just
going,
a person.
If you're going to preach this stuff, you have to practice it. Don't say, oh, don't do as I do as I say. You know, so, yeah, oh, global warming's bad, and I'm going to get on my private jet, but you peasants need to go ahead and fund
the
world government.
You guys really need to chip in, you
yeah,
little people.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second.
You little people.
It's all bull. It's all
right.
Nonsense.
So now we got the pop culture stuff out of the way. Other than that.
I got more pop culture. I got something. Well, it's kind of pop culture, really.
What do you got?
I'm excited, man. UFC 196, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz. These guys, I know you don't follow this stuff much.
I don't.
But
I really
don't. This guy that's setting the world on fire. His name's Conor McGregor. He's an Irishman, and he's always talking trash. And, dude, he backs it up.
He's from Ireland?
Oh, dude.
I want him to win.
He's tough.
I want him
to
win. I'm voting party line on this one.
He's pretty tough. He's a good guy to want to win.
Those Irish, they like to get drunk and they like to fist fight.
That's this guy. This is your guy. Well, this guy's been
saying... We're out of whiskey. Ah, no, those are fighting words.
Put up your dukes.
Oh, they're magically delicious. You gotta do one of those.
Definitely. So this guy, here's the thing. They go, oh, he trash talks. But here's the problem. He backs it up. He's right every time. The last fight he fought a guy, Jose Aldo, he goes, I'll knock him out in the first round. And everybody's like, yeah, right. Like, one punch in, he knocks the guy out. And he keeps doing this over and over. So, but here's the big part of this guy's game is the head games. In the press conferences and stuff, he gets in the other fighter's head. He talks trash. I'm going to knock out. And it works a lot. They got him up against this guy, Nate Diaz, who that stuff doesn't work on at
Uh-oh.
All. This guy
Uh-oh.
Loves fight. And he's trash-talking back. And if you can look at the clips on YouTube, it's just fantastic to see these guys.
So you're excited about this.
I'm
you're going to
so
watch
excited,
it.
Bro.
That's what happened. It's this Saturday?
It's Saturday night.
Yeah. That was Muhammad Ali, man. Muhammad Ali
absolutely.
Was the first big trash-talking
that backed
world
it up.
Champ. Oh, yeah. But, like, I guess it drove Sonny Liston crazy.
Well, it gets
like,
in the other guy's head.
Yeah. Sonny Liston didn't like it. You know who else I bet doesn't like the trash-talking? Little Marco Rubio. Look at that. How about that segue? Seamless, baby.
He started trash talking. He never used to do it. Now he started it. Now he can't stop himself. He
you
loves it.
You see how
it.
Delighted he was?
He's busted chops.
How, when you watch the clips from earlier on in the week when Marco Rubio started, when he first started with the con man thing, and the audience is like, oh, remember that show on MTV where all they did was the Yo Mama jokes?
Yeah.
And I love the Yo Mama
I do
joke.
Too.
It was like that. Marco Rubio was like, and he's a con man, and you know, this guy's about worth as much as a degree from Trump University. Oh!
Can I get a one?
Look at his tiny hands. Oh!
Like, all like, snack, homie.
Yeah, it was like being in an MTV Yo Mama.
It is just
Just waiting for that, you know. I was waiting for, like, Donald Trump's so stupid, it takes him 90 minutes to watch 60 minutes. Oh! Donald Trump is so dumb, he can't make orange juice because it says concentrate. Oh! I was like really waiting for that. That would be awesome.
It's getting there.
It is. It is. So, hey, we had the big debate last night.
Yes.
That was tough. I didn't watch it live. I don't think you did
no,
either.
No, I saw clips of it.
We were at a big Flipside taping down at Hermosa Beach Comedy
and
Magic.
That was fun. That's
that was
fun.
A great time. That was a great time.
Yeah.
That's going to be two good episodes of television.
Yep. It's on.
Boom. Boom.
And you can...
What was your favorite joke from last night, Jason?
Man, I wrote half of them and I can't remember now. There was a couple of the picture this where you show a picture and then make fun of it that I thought was pretty funny. Like the giant wall picture. You show the Great Wall of China.
Oh.
You're like, nobody's ever built a wall, Michael. That's never been done. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. Bam, ba da bam, bam. Boy, I'm telling you what, I had one ready to go, and I can't remember it now.
I'm still foggy from last night, man.
It's a lot. Two shows in one night. It's a lot of fun. If you get a chance, come down to a taping. We got two more episodes we're going to be filming in April. Come on down for that. So I came home last night and then watched the debate. You know, they show the clips, the best of, the best of. And I didn't see this moment, and I was doing a radio interview this afternoon, and the first thing that the radio guy in, like, Detroit was like, did you see the thing on Ted Cruz's lip? And I'm like, what? No, I didn't. He's like, you didn't see the thing on Ted Cruz? So then I looked it up. I Googled it. And half, I don't know what Ted Cruz is talking about. It was the freakiest thing. You know, like old guys at a buffet, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they'll have a piece of food on their lip or
like
their mustache.
Spill or something.
And you're like, I don't even, does he not feel that? He doesn't see that big hunk of corn or he doesn't, and they get it. That happened to Ted Cruz last night.
But I don't know that it was food. It was weird.
It was food. I looked at it. It's like the Zapruder.
But it was like jumping around all over
his lip. That was the creepiest part. It like comes out of nowhere. It's like, bloop, attaches to his lips like it came from another dimension. Then it's on his upper lip, and then it goes to his lower lip, and it goes, jumps back up to his upper lip. He could have been.
And then he ate it.
He could have solved all the world's problems.
And people are like,
I had no idea what he's saying because, like, what's that thing on your lip?
Oh, I'm going to throw up, dude. That was so gross.
I guess Donald Trump came back at Marco Rubio for the little hands thing.
Yeah, he said.
He said, no complaints so far.
If you know
just
what
like,
I mean.
Oh, my Lord. We got to move on from that. We got to move on. That's. For me, and I can go pretty lowbrow with politics, but like, listen, let's not do that. We don't need that in politics.
Well, I mean, if that's what they're attacking them on, it's not gonna cut it. They need to stick with the issues. And
well, they're out for blood. They're out for the other big event that happened yesterday, the big Mitt Romney speech.
Yeah,
that was crazy. I have never seen a group of people, MSNBC, CNN. Fox News, after Super Tuesday, they're counting the votes and the you know, the delegates and blah 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 blah, and everybody's like, how do we stop Trump? How do they stop him? It's like they're talking about King Kong. Like Donald Trump is just like climbing up the Empire State Building. He's got Chris Christie in his hand. He's heading to the top of the building. How do we stop Kong? Surely the planes can bring him down. And then they trot out Mitt Romney. Trot out Mitt Romney to give a speech, just slamming Donald Trump. Did you see that?
I don't remember anybody asking Mitt Romney what he thinks about anything. That guy got laughed out of the election twice. Hey, where was all this anger and venom against Obama? You're going to hate on
that
Trump.
That was a very, very popular tweet yesterday. That was a very popular tweet yesterday.
It?
Why didn't Mitt Romney fight like this when he was running
against
Obama?
Obama, he folds like a chair and he's just like trying to be nice and everything. No, man.
Yeah, I just thought that was horrible. So then today is, you know, CPAC's going on, the big conservative political action committee. It's CPAC. Going on. Yeah, CPAC is what we call it. And Donald Trump was supposed to speak.
And he
this
said,
weekend.
No, he's not doing
he
it.
He turned him down. He's like, can't make it. And people,
why is he doing this?
Here's the thing. Why is he doing this?
Is he mad?
I think I would be mad because the establishment trotted out Mitt Romney. And stabbed him
and
in the back.
CPAC is the official.
I think CPAC is pretty much the big official big
time.
So
he's like, I'm not doing it. He doesn't need to. He's already smoking
it's
everybody.
It's like Julius Caesar going to the Senate and being stabbed, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he somehow leaves. And then somebody the next day is like, come on back to the Senate.
Give a speech.
He's like, I don't think I want to. They stab me when I go, no, come on, come on. Are you chicken? And they're like literally mocking him. I guess he's afraid. Like, I don't think he has a lot of friends there. I don't think you people like him. I think that's evidence from Et Tu Romney yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So good for him for not going.
He doesn't need
he's
to
He's going
that
to
speech.
Kansas. He's going to Florida. He's going for the knockout punch. He's doing some, he's done. He's done. He's had it.
Yeah.
And they have a plan. They have a plan to bring him down. They do.
Oh, they've had
they're gonna
all
do,
kinds
they're
of
gonna
plans.
Do a, they're going to do a contested convention. They're going to try to keep his delegate count low, go to Cleveland this summer, and then all bets are off. And boy, oh boy.
I don't believe it's going
to
happen.
In a really weird way, I want it to happen just to see what the result is.
Oh, it'll
it's
be
like
great.
Lighting a firecracker. You just light it, and then you get back to a safe distance, and you're like, ooh, what's going to happen? And then boom! And then just there's, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll get stuck with Ted Cruz.
Maybe.
I don't want it to happen. I don't think it should happen. I think if the man, if the the people have spoken, they want Trump. They're sick of this politically correct, well, no right, that, backbone
And then
stuff.
I can already hear them. They're talking math. Trump gets 38%. Ted Cruz gets 20. Marco Rubio gets 20. 20 and 20 makes 40. 40 is more than 36. And here's the argument that I can't stand hearing. If these other people weren't in the race, I'd be doing great. Like, shut up with that. You're not allowed you're not allowed to use that in real
life.
If
I was in a race and everybody dropped out, I'd probably win.
If you're running track, you're running the 100-yard
dash. If only these other runners.
Hey, if these guys from Kenya weren't running, I'd be doing great. Guess what?
They're in the race.
They're in the race. You lost. Oh,
and
my
then
goodness.
How do you know those votes are going to go to you?
Oh, my goodness. It's just, dang, another good idea. We're dinging and dinging and dinging and dinging. I want to go to CPAC. Someday. I didn't go this year, obviously. We're filming two episodes of television. Next year, I want to go. I guess it's a yearly thing. It's real, like, inside baseball stuff, but I'm getting into it. I'm relatively new to the political thing. It really started, I mean, I've always been, like, a political guy watching from the sidelines, watching from the sidelines. Then, a year and a half ago, we start doing The Flip Side, this syndicated TV show, and then I start really paying attention. And here's the scary,
your job, yeah.
Right? And then when you really start paying attention, things get very scary. And there's jokes and there's observations that only people who are in on it get, you know? So you have to be very, very careful. I don't want to be like one of these brainiacs. You see these political pundit brainiacs on MSNBC.
You pronounced Scalia wrong.
Yes,
it's actually Scalia.
I'm not a big fan of this episode because you mispronounced the name of the Supreme Court Justice in 1822.
So that means your whole podcast is terrible because you mispronounced one word.
I think everything that you've said from this point forward must be thrown out because in 1822 you failed to recognize that the evaluation doctrination was blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that's just boring and horrible stuff.
Right.
However, they had this dude on MSNBC. I cannot remember his name, but he was just telling Chris Matthews, here's how they're going to do it.
Hmm.
And then here's how it works. And after the first ballot in a contested convention, they'll do this, and then they'll say that, and then they will give you another candidate. And it was just so blatant and so right out there. And Chris Matthews, God bless Chris Matthews.
Love Matthews.
More and more I do.
It surprises me. But
you know what the great thing about Chris Matthews? It's what I like about Chris Matthews is what I like about Bernie Sanders is what I like about Donald Trump. I like somebody who is a straight shooter. Now, whether it's real or whether it's an act, maybe I'm an idiot and I'm being fooled. But Chris Matthews, listen, when Obama got elected, he was like, I'm getting a thrill up my leg.
Right.
He was excited. He didn't hide it. That's cool. I know who you are. We can still go out and have a beer together. We can still hang out, but you're not like, I'd much rather know who the heck somebody is. And like, okay, that's who that person is, 110%, than some guy who's like, here's what you need to do, America. And then as soon as I leave the room, he's like, all right, he's gone. Let's change. I can't stand hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
But that's like 99.9% of all politicians do that stuff, you know?
Oh, it's for real.
Yeah.
It's for real. I can't remember what my point even was.
I don't remember what we're even
talking
about.
I'm so off the track. I don't know, but it was wonderful.
It was awesome.
I don't want to be like an inside baseball guy. I don't want to be like one of these talking head. But it's this guy was like just saying, here's how they're going to do it. Here's like, and it's just like, you know, and I'm horrible for the metaphors, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for. I haven't made up my mind yet who I'm voting for. However, when this many, I've never seen this many people be like, we have to stop this guy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like hyenas chasing down a lion in like a National Geographic thing. If we can get this hyena to bite him on the leg, then that'll, then this hyena says this. And it's just, it's really like Marco Rubio every time. Listen, here's a little tip to the Ted Cruz and the Marco Rubios and the John Kasichs and everybody else. Tell me what you're going to do, right?
Yeah, stick to
like,
the issues.
Like, seriously. Like, okay, you called Donald Trump a con man. You got in your hits. You called him a con man. You said he had little hands. That was awesome for one day of the news cycle. Now, what are you going to do? Because the last time I checked, Donald Trump was like, okay, here's how I'm going to bring jobs back. Here's how these factories are going to be, you know? And economists are like, there's going to be a trade war. It's going to be ugly. But at least it's a plan, you know? Here's how I'm going to keep this factory from moving to Mexico. I just don't hear, he's a con man. Okay, well, you better start conning me, dude. What is your plan?
Yeah.
It's so insanely negative. And Ted Cruz, all right, a lot of people love Ted Cruz. So I'm like, all right, I'll give this guy a look. And like, all I hear from that guy is, day one, I'm going to rip this up. Day two, I'm going to stop this. Day three, I'm going to eliminate that. I'm like, hey, I know you're going to be ripping up a bunch of stuff and telling people no. What are you going to do? Like, what are you, and get those mom jeans off. I tell you what, that drives me crazy. That's a big pet peeve.
He cannot pull off the jean look.
Stop wearing blue jeans, politicians.
I'm one of you, Michael.
You're not allowed to do it.
Right.
You're not allowed to do it. I saw one picture of Ronald Reagan in blue jeans ever in my life, and that dude was also on the back of a horse.
With a cowboy hat on.
And he was working on his ranch. That's when you're allowed to wear blue jeans.
I think that's God's way of warning you. Is when a politician puts on jeans, if it looks like mom jeans, that's God warning you that this guy is not...
That's great. Yeah. When a politician's wearing blue jeans, man, get out your fact checkers. Because, like, that's like phase one of lying. Years ago, me and my buddy, I was on this Jameson Irish Whiskey comedy tour, and we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, and there's this stage that like rock and roll like front men used to go through. You know, they start off just wearing like these really weird androgynous outfits, and then they start wearing jumpsuits, and then they start wearing capes, and then they die, right? It's like as soon as you start wearing a cape, you're about to die. If you're in rock and roll, never wear a cape. Well, for Ted Cruz's cape is the blue jeans. If a politician is wearing blue jeans, that's a big sign.
Yeah.
You're one step away from just the full-on cape of lies. And if you're gonna... they shouldn't even wear blue jeans at all. Here's the other one. Here's the other one they're mad about today. And this is just unbelievable. A couple debates ago, Donald Trump is like... they're talking about waterboarding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And torture. And Donald Trump flippantly said... because this guy talks before he thinks things through, he just flippantly says, if I'm president, we're going to do a lot worse than waterboarding. And everybody's like, rah, in the crowd, right? Because, mm-hmm. yay, it's bombastic and blah, blah, blah. So then yesterday, they're like, are you still going to do worse stuff than waterboarding? And he's very wisely, he says, oh, no, you can't do that. Because there is international law, and like you don't want to like just... So... Because he said now.
He's flip-flopping.
Yes! Whoa. Yes!
No, maybe he actually researched it and put some thought into it.
People are mad. Oh, he flip-flopped on torture. Like, he can only win my vote back unless he starts pulling the fingernails out.
He used to be a Democrat. It's like, wait, well, I used to be a Democrat, and then I was a Republican. Now I'm nothing. Now I don't care what these maniacs do.
And so much of this is just driving me crazy. It's just driving me crazy.
Why do we do a political podcast, really?
You know what I try to do? This is what I would want. This is what, like, if I was just kind of mildly into politics, and like, a couple comedians talking about politics.
Yeah.
We can talk about the stuff, like, and here's what I think makes sense to the common man that has just, like, blown past all the brainiacs. I'm tired of the brainiacs. I'm so sick of the brainiacs that my head is about to explode. The brainiacs don't understand how is Bernie Sanders popular? He's popular with the young people. Hillary doesn't seem to be getting the young people excited. How is Bernie Sanders doing? Are you kidding me? I don't know. He goes to college campuses and tells a bunch of kids who are in college and in debt up to their eyeball, I'm going to make college free. Yeah, you got my vote.
Right.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out how's he doing well with young people. He's going to give them free college.
The same way communists always.
And they're like, what if I have free college? My health care is going to kill me. That bill is huge.
He's
That's free too.
And opponent.
How's he doing so well?
Who wants a free car?
How's he doing? And I feel bad about this one. I've been talking about this on these radio interviews. I'm literally getting a headache. I think my head's going to explode. The people don't understand why Donald Trump is... they don't understand what he's doing. Now, the last time I checked, Donald Trump is a businessman. Now, as a stand-up comedian, right? You've done stand-up, too. A
couple of times.
When you go to a comedy club, usually a comedy club says, this is how much we pay. And you go, okay. And you either take it or you leave it.
Right.
Right? Now, when you're doing like a private party or something, it's a corporate gig, there's a little bit of negotiating that goes on. I believe that Donald Trump is negotiating because he's a business guy. And the first thing you do in negotiation, you don't say your number. You maybe do something very bombastic, right? Like I've had corporate guys go, "Well, how much for a show for my corporate retreat?" And I'll be like, "I can give you I can do a lot of. I'm going to give you a great show. I can give you a $10,000 show, or I can give you $1 million show. It really it's what's your budget?" And then they go, "Okay." Then they say the first real number, right? So if you're negotiating something and you want, let's say you want 6 rocks, you know, it's rocks or the, so you want 6 of them. You're not going to go, "May I have 6 rocks, please?" Because then the guy is going to, "I can't give you 6 rocks.
I'll give you 3 rocks.
So here's what you do. I need 10 rocks.
I'll give you 6.
I can give you 8 rocks. Really? 8? Okay, let's say 8 rocks will do. So now you got 2 more rocks than you originally wanted. That's all Donald Trump's doing. It is not rocket science. You know, we're gonna stop all this from happening. Okay, you know, you can't do that. All right, we'll stop this from happening. You just walk it back a little bit. And they're all like, "I don't understand what he's doing. I don't. You can't deport 11 million. No, you can't. Everyone on the planet knows you can't do it. If you tried to, do people realistically think he's going to, like, dress up army men as, like, Nazis and go from door to door knocking people's windows in and, like, you know, underlay. No.
Right.
There would be riots, and Americans won't stand for that. So you say that, and people go, "You know, that's crazy. All right, well, seriously, we got to take this immigration thing. We can't have any illegal." Oh, okay. Then that sounds rational. Then building a wall sounds actually rational.
All he wants to do is check people at the door. That's it. He doesn't want to stop immigration altogether. He just wants to check people. You know, because I heard this person on Facebook go, "Well, people fly into the country all the time and they stay. They overstay their visas. Oh, so what's the big deal about?" Yeah, well, here's the thing. They check in. They have to go. They check in when they fly in. These people are coming over the border. We don't know who the hell they are, where they come from. They're not checking in.
Well, here's the other thing. But to that point, I totally agree. They come here on these guest visas. They check in and then they just skedaddle.
Right.
And no one knows where they are. And this is where it gets to a slippery slope. Okay, so I'm like a college student, and I'm from Egypt, and I'm like way cool, and I'm awesome. So I come to America, and I check in. Now, how often do I have to check in with the police? Do I have to call, like, every time I change locations? Like, okay, I was in Cincinnati yesterday. Today I'm in Dayton. Do I have to call? That's weird. I don't want to live in that society. I mean, it's America still, for Christ's sake. There's got to be, like, freedom of movement. Is it once a week? Is it once a month?
You can't have that discussion. Open border and just let whoever in, though.
Oh, I'm totally against that. I don't want people, you know, like, just crawling in from Canada and coming in from Mexico, from God. Yeah, I want immigration. Lord knows.
Yeah, I would like.
I'm the grandchild of immigrants, but they stood in line. I'm all for welcome to America, but there's a line.
And these people are screwing the people that are waiting in line and doing it legally. And then here's the other thing. There's something called the Cloward and Piven strategy, which is you have the border wide open.
Cloward and Piven, just really quickly, was also a, they were a comedy team.
I think they were
in the
folk,
1972?
A folk music.
I'm Cloward, I'm Piven, and now let's do our skit where we run the liquor store. Come on in.
These guys definitely were not comedians. They were Harvard professors that came up with this plan that the Democrats and apparently Republicans have adopted, where you just leave the border wide open, you let whoever come in, you flood the system with people that sign up for entitlements,
okay,
and then you have more people that have entitlements than you do people actually working, and they vote all the rights away of the working class. It's the Cloward and Piven strategy to turn you into a communist
nation. You're sounding like Ann Coulter now.
I don't know that she's talked about
this. Oh, I'm sure she did. We had Ann Coulter. I had her as a guest on the TV show, and that's her whole thing with her book, Adios America.
They come in and they vote away our rights.
Yeah, there is. And this is not the first time I've heard about this. This is a hysterical episode. I'm just laughing like...
It doesn't all have to be funny, does it? I mean...
No, it doesn't. But there's a large people out there that's saying that, like, once the scales get tipped too much in one direction, that we will lose our democracy.
It's a
forever.
Real strategy. It's going on right now. There's an elite group of people that really run things above the president and all these politicians that look like they're in charge. They have certain plans to do things to this country and the world that are not good.
Okay, I'm not there yet. I'm just thinking already in my brain, I'm like, they'll ruin our democracy, and there's some brainiac out there going, we're not a democracy, we're a republic.
We are a republic.
Well, we're supposed to be.
A democracy is, as Ben Franklin said, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
Boom!
You know.
That's bears
democracy
repeating.
Democracy is
that
awful.
Bears repeating. Do that one again. Who said that?
Ben Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin. Was he a t-shirt guy? Because that should definitely be on a t-shirt.
I think he sold t-shirts after his comedy gigs with a key on it.
Tigers. You know what I love about Ben Franklin? The beaver hat, man. That dude was awesome.
He was a pretty cool dude.
He went over to France.
He was a ladies' man.
Yes, he was. He went over to France to raise money to help. You know, it's like, hey, French, help us out with the revolution. And they're like, we are kind of busy. We have our own thing going on, blah, blah, blah. But when he was over there, he was rocking, like, the bifocal thing and a beaver hat. And no one was wearing a beaver hat. Nobody. Except for Ben Franklin. And they're like, what is this on your head? There's a furry creature on your head. And he's like, it's a beaver hat. It's from America. And it's the bomb. And by the time he left,
everybody
was wearing beaver hats.
This is my beaver hat?
Yeah, I love it. John Adams shows up and he's like, this is just one giant party. People are wearing beaver hats. How's the war effort going? And Ben Franklin's like, dude, it goes slow. Just chill out. Have some champagne. I'm working on it. It drove John Adams crazy how slow it was. But I love that Ben Franklin just did his own thing. God bless that dude.
He was a cool dude.
Ben Franklin was also against the two-party system, like you were just saying. He's like, once you have two parties, it's done. And he based everything. You know, we're supposed to have 50 states. This is what I love about America. And this is why we have the best shot. And it's why I think we do so well. If you have an idea for something, try it in your state. If you
don't make
try
everybody do it.
Right?
Because what works in Hawaii may not work in Alaska. So
as
why
we,
would
as
you
as we go forward and Ted Cruz is like, I'm going to rip up the Obamacare. And then Donald Trump is like, I'm going to figure out a better system for Obamacare. And I'm going to, no, how's it going in Massachusetts? Didn't they try free health care in Massachusetts? How are they doing?
If it's doing good, other states might want to do it. They might not.
That's what
I'm
saying.
They might have their own thing.
If a state can...
State rights.
Absolutely.
State
rights. Illinois wants to try some crazy health care junk and give her and they figure it out, awesome.
Well,
go for it.
Michael,
if it works, we'll all try it.
State rights are definitely diminishing by the minute. It's scary because the federal government's taking over everything and they will try to run your life.
I'm going to write this down.
And tax you on every little thing you
I'm
do.
I'm going to write this down, states' rights. Because you know what we should do
next
week on the Loftus Party? I want to do those crazy state laws.
Oh, I've read some really crazy ones.
Right? Like, to this day, it's like, if you have a man may not have more than two chickens within sight of the church steeple in Alabama.
That's
you
a stupid law.
Right?
If I want four chickens or five chickens,
A three-legged dog may not eat a pie on the Thursday. I love those old, and they're like still on the books. A cracked bell may not be rung on Friday.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird ones. There's like 23 states where it's legal to make love to a horse. Like, what is that?
That can't be right.
That's a real thing.
That can't be right.
The weirdest law in every state.
The weirdest law in every state. Find me one real quick, and then we're gonna do some Michaeltopias.
All right. Alabama.
Alabama. Oh, you go straight to the south.
Well, okay.
Straight to the south. Way to go.
Let's go somewhere else.
Way to go.
In Arizona, even though they love it, you can't feed pigs garbage unless you have a special permit. Only that needs to be renewed each January, so you really think hard about how much you want to give that
hog
your next
you have to renew that in January?
You missed the deadline.
Oh, man! Every year. Now I got to figure out what I'm going to feed my pigs.
In Arkansas, mispronouncing the state name is strictly forbidden, so leave your grandma and her fancy Arkansas. Well, in Arkansas, a lot of people are mispronouncing all kinds of stuff, so that's a crazy place to have that law.
Come on, give me a new one.
Look, California.
In California, once upon a time, it was legal to shoot and kill someone just because they were Chinese. As late as, like, 1880. That's how...
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. You're from China. Bang! And then you just take his stuff.
But I'm Japanese.
And, ooh, I'm out of here.
Sorry. In California, you can have a frog jumping contest, but if a frog dies, you cannot eat them. It is forbidden by law. Figure that one out.
Okay. That's a weird... Now, why is that a law?
I have no idea.
Was there a frog jumping contest once upon a time, and a frog died, and some guy's, I'm going to eat this. And like Betsy Neuberhausen is like, no, don't. And he's like, it's a dead frog. I like frog. I'm like, don't do it. My husband is a senator. I will pass a law. They passed a law for that. No, definitely politicians don't waste time. They don't waste money. Hey, how are we? You know, enough of that renewable energy. Where do we stand on that frog bill? Where are we going to do that? When are we going to do something about the frog legs? Take your solar panels, shut up, and wait your turn. Well, where are we? Take a vote on the frogs.
These frogs are ruining everything. In Illinois, taking a nap in a cheese factory, a bake shop, confectionery, or creamery is illegal under the Illinois Sanitary Food Preparation Act.
You cannot take a nap in a what factory?
A cheese...
You can't take a nap in a cheese factory
or a bake shop.
What the hell?
Or a creamery.
What happened?
I don't know.
At some point, something so horrifying. Wait, at a cheese factory? There's three, right?
A bake shop.
Cheese, bakery.
Creamery.
Or a creamery. Okay. So here's what happened. Once upon a time.
A guy fell asleep
at a cheese factory. Something horrifying happened.
What?
I don't know. People died. The cheese turned into pure poison.
He forgot to turn the machine off, and the cheese...
So it was bad. And they get to the root, and they're like, Jerry, what happened? And he's like...
I fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
We need to make a law about this.
Okay, we should make a law. It is illegal to fall asleep at a cheese factory. Meanwhile... Across town at the bakery, a guy falls asleep, creating more death and destruction. So they have to go and amend the law. All right, at cheese factories and at bakeries.
In Indiana, you cannot catch a fish with your bare hands. It is illegal.
Wow.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's the whole segment next week. We gotta do Michaeltopias. We have to do Michaeltopias. We're getting longer and longer every week.
In Louisiana, insulting or abusive remarks are forbidden at any boxing match.
You're just allowed to hit people with your hands.
You can punch them,
knock them out.
You're not allowed
to talk smack.
Don't hurt their feelings, though.
Hey, I'm going to clobber you. Hey, let's watch the language. I want a good, clean fight. Kill them. Kill them with your bare hands, but don't say anything.
Dude, it goes on and on.
That's a whole segment next week. It's a whole segment next week. I love it. I hope you got some Michaeltopias because I'm playing the music.
In New Jersey, wearing a bulletproof vest.
I am playing the music.
Oh, damn it, I've got more.
For Michaeltopia.
All right.
Well, read it into a Michaeltopia. You know, you can live anywhere you want. You can live out where things are crazy, or you live in my brain where things make sense. Michaeltopia, join me, won't you? Oh, yeah. What do you got
in the state of New Jersey, wearing a bulletproof vest while committing or attempting to commit murder is an offense. Because New Jersey cares more about making this a fair fight than the actual, you know, murder.
Oh, wow.
This is all
I don't know if that's
a
Michaeltopia.
No, here's my Michaeltopia. I got
do a Michaeltopia on that. In Michaeltopia, it's not... Here's how you're saying it.
If I'm
in Michaeltopia,
somebody,
it's not illegal to wear a bulletproof vest.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey while committing murder. Like, is that just because you had bonus points? It's like, you killed that person and they really didn't have a chance to shoot you.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Murder's okay, but just don't stack the odds in your own favor. All right, another Michaeltopia. Go.
Okay, stop accusing people of hating the poor every time they disagree with you on something. Holy moly. I get in arguments with people. You're a libertarian? You're conservative? Oh, I guess you hate poor people. No, I want to keep the money I earned. And I think if you want to take a couple of bucks to help poor people, but there's a lot of cuts we can make before we get to poor people. The government wastes so much money. It's unbelievable. There's cut after cut after cut we can make. Who's even talking about the poor people? This is how Democrats twist things to give them this false moral superiority. And meanwhile, they're the ones destroying the poor, keeping them there because they need them dependent for votes. So no more accusing me of hating poor people.
That's a very long Michaeltopia.
And furthermore, I don't have it. That's,
that's a Michaeltopia filibuster.
I know that
but
was
But it's supposed... a very nice segue to mine. In Michaeltopia, there is no Department of Energy. I looked up the Department of Energy. Uh-huh. $30 billion a year we spend on the Department of Energy. And one of their jobs is to clean up nuclear waste. Okay. Now, if we're talking about nuclear waste and making that safe for the environment, wouldn't that be the job of the EPA? Don't we already have people to do that? If you're protecting the environment, it's the job of the EPA. It's not the Energy Department. The other thing they do is they oversee loans for new technologies and blah, 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 blah.
What is
I
that?
I think the free market will take care of the loans. I think if I want a loan, I'll go to a bank. I won't go right. to the Energy Department.
Yeah, I don't understand
It's
that.
Crazy. We don't need them. They were born in 1970, and they died in 2016. There, America, I just saved you $30 billion a year. Boom. I got another one, locked and loaded. You got one?
Yeah. Don't talk about politics at Starbucks. Kid at Starbucks today.
In Michaeltopia, we don't talk about politics at Starbucks.
Right.
You got to do it like a Michaeltopia. You got to ramp it up, buddy.
Okay. This guy at Starbucks today is talking to the kid behind the counter. I have Obama stickers on my car from both elections. Do you think it's my car safe outside? The guy goes, yeah, this is a pretty liberal area. You should be all right. Good, because you know what? When Prop 8 was up, I went around, me and my friends, we tore bumper stickers off cars and we threw away people's house signs. And I go, and I look at the kid and I go, wait, dude, aren't you a Democrat? He goes, yeah. I go, aren't you supposed to be open-minded and tolerant? Not when it comes to intolerance. I'm intolerant of intolerance.
Yeah.
I go, oh, wait a second.
That dude. Is the craziest thing.
So you
thing.
Can vandalize and be intolerant.
Yes,
and
because
step on free
because
speech.
It's a righteous anger.
Yeah, these yeah. Democrats are cuckoo. For
That's a good one. I hope you wrote that one down.
I can't stand these Democrats. I really can't stand them. I really hate them.
In Michaeltopia, we don't lump all people under one little banner. In Michaeltopia, we don't say things like "I can't stand all these Democrats."
Well, hey, to be fair, I'm not crazy about the Republicans either. I want small
now
government.
You just did it again. Well, you didn't help yourself.
Yes, let me talk about these Republicans.
Here goes mine. Here okay, goes go mine. Ahead. In Michaeltopia, parents don't take their children to R-rated movies.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And then act shocked when the movie is a little... I remember when South Park came out, Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Yeah, that great.
And I saw some dad come in with his, like,
But Michael, it's a cartoon.
6-year-old daughter. I'm like, hey, dude, it's rated R. There's literally going to be visual jokes that I don't think you want little Cindy Lou to see.
Oh, yeah.
They left about halfway through, and the guy was freaking out. I'm like, what did you expect, Brainiac?
We have a rating system. I went to see Deadpool, which was amazing, by the way. And those guys with little kids. And, I mean, this movie's heavy. There's stuff in that movie you don't want a kid to see. But I'm like, you didn't see the R rate? Like, how stupid are you? But it's a superhero. You're dumb. You're just too dumb.
You are dumb. In Michaeltopia, the Loftus Party podcast ends close to on time.
I got one more.
Okay.
In Michaeltopia, Republicans will not keep saying how they want small government and then defending politicians who make the government bigger and crazier. I see it all the time. They did it with Bush.
That's part of the anger, bro.
The Patriot
part of the
Act.
Anger, bro, Ham.
Well, I'm angry.
You got a great point, but I tell you what, we got to write that down for next week.
All right.
I want to tell you what. I want to thank people for listening to the podcast and the show, the whole thing. It's fantastic. You got to go to Flipside Loftus. That's the
at
that's
Flipside
the,
Loftus.
That's right. That's the Twitter. Find us on Facebook.
Yep.
That's a great site. And the YouTube
channel.
We're on
YouTube.
Oh, the YouTube channel.
We've got a lot of stuff.
That's getting exciting now.
Hey, and if you enjoy the show, if you like the show, please get on iTunes and give us some love. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a nice comment. It'll mean a lot to me. It'll mean a lot to Loftus.
It's part of the man versus computer war.
It is.
You only get love if you can beat the algorithm. I'm finding this out. And the algorithm is you need those stars. You need those stars.
And
so God bless you for
one
clicking
more thing.
On those.
Don't forget to listen to the Road to Ruin podcast, where my guests this week is going to be Michael Loftus, hopefully, if I could talk him into it. It's another good podcast. There it is.